Greetings. This is James Gill with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from an underground location deep within Mount Adams. We're mentioned things happen up here. We're having all kinds of computer things and wiring things and glitches, and it seems to be the whole area has been going through this, but hopefully everything will stay up. We're having incredible winds up here right now, and just coming over to the studio right now was a good thing I wasn't hanging on to a sheet or something. I'd probably find myself in Canada. But there's trees dancing quite a bit here and all kinds of things flying around, and looks like all of our lines are up and good, so we'll just continue business as usual. The good news is we're not in Kansas with that baseball-sized hail and 80 miles per hour winds, and we're in the Midwest, just getting hammered with one storm after another. It's just pretty incredible right now. Mother Nature is moving. She's flexing her muscles, and she's getting ready to move to the next level. And, you know, I find it interesting that I often hear again and again that, people say, it's all an illusion. If I don't believe it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. And they have these ideas that they're going to levitate or they're going to bilocate, right in the moment, when they need to. And a little news, if you haven't mastered it by now, you're not going to do it in the throes of a big quake or a tsunami or one of these other events. So either really get busy with your spiritual awakening and healing process and learn to levitate and bilocate and walk through walls and things like that. And then when you have those abilities, yes, you can overcome these changes. But right now we have these physical bodies that need to eat, they need to sleep, they need water, they need food. They need all of these things right now. And a wise master once said, a man's got to know his limits. That was Clint Eastwood. But anyway, as far as changes, a good friend, Michal Ledbetter, we were talking about that, how you would wave your hand and just say, love dissolves, or it's all gone, or whatever, and I'm all for that. If you can do that, if you can just make things disappear or whatever, that is a form of mastery. And if you get results, that's great. If you don't get results, then you have to keep working on your mastery until you can dissolve objects with the mind or things like that. But anyway, it's just a little heads up. I keep hearing it's a little bit of spiritual ego to move in that direction. And we need to sit down and really listen to our God selves and listen to nature and listen to what's going down around us, because, we're on the move, and it's not going to be business as usual. We've got solar cycle 24 revving up. We're going to be hit by massive solar flares and coronal mass ejections. That's a given. And the weather is just getting insane right now. It's going to continue to escalate along with earthquakes and volcanoes. So a little heads up there. We need to start really listening to Mother Nature and what she's doing and where she's going. And, a little preventative measure might be a good idea. As far as the UFO activity, we're seeing UFOs everywhere right now around the world. There's continued sightings, and we've had some awesome sightings here. We've had massive triangle ships and quite a few other ships come over. And it's just an ongoing thing here. For those who had a chance to listen to the X-Zone radio interview, I highly recommend not, because it was the worst interview I've ever done. And poor Rob is having a meltdown. I don't know where he's going, but it sounded like a mouthpiece for Homeland Security, as well as somebody that knew nothing whatsoever about ufology or the cover-up and all the other things going on. But hopefully one of these days he'll wake up, do his homework, and figure things out. But feel free, if you want to listen to the radio show, the X-Zone interview, go ahead and feel free to comment after the show. You'll see it was one of the most ridiculous shows I've ever heard, and pretty much, I guess he decided to bash everybody in ufology, Stanton Friedman, all of us, all the exopolitics people, even Paul Hellyer, the former Canadian defense minister who came public and started talking about it's time to stop the aggression towards UFOs and unload this, or release this, free energy and this fuelless energy technologies and start turning the planet around and clean up our environment. So kudos to him. I guess Mr. McConnell believes that these are all treasonous people because they broke an oath of secrecy. But in my opinion, they took an oath to serve and protect the people of the United States, and serving the deception and the cover-up and all the other nonsense that's going on is really not serving the country or the people, and that's where their real oath resides. So in my book, I wouldn't even use the word treason. I would use the word hero or something other than that. But these men are walking in their integrity. They're doing what's right, and they don't want to be a part of the deception and the nonsense anymore. So that being said, and talking about these UFO sightings around the world, we're going to move into some incredible new sightings out in Pine Bush. And hopefully we can get Phil Pozeski on the show here. Phil, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great to have you on the show.
Evening, James. Thanks.
Hey, how's your weather doing there?
It just got very hot. It was about 96 today and got very humid. It's about time. It's been very cool and rainy up here for a while.
Yeah, I've been seeing one huge rainstorm just move through there. One, especially the Midwest, is getting hit really hard.
I know. The Midwest has been blasted by tornadoes almost every other week now, I think.
Yeah, it's all just an illusion, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you're in it.
Yeah.
Unless your car just ended up in Kansas, you know, that used to be in Missouri or something, you know. But
it's really amazing, this weather. I really think it's a lot of the contributing factors to this abnormal weather has got to be somehow with the tilting of the Earth's axis. We're actually losing the north. The true magnetic north is actually tilting at a 49-point degree angle from what I saw. Somebody did their math homework on this and drew up a little scale of the Earth and its axis and its tilting. And my own compass, I mean, 10 years ago, just to give you an example, 10 years ago, I would try to locate true magnetic north to align my bed with true magnetic north. And at that time, the true magnetic north was out near Iceland, and now, 10 years later, I go to locate true magnetic north, and it's out to the northwest, true magnetic north, so it's almost flipped, completely opposite of like northeast where Iceland was at that 10 years ago, just to give you an idea of like 49%, and I think it tilted from like a 26.9 degrees to 49.6 degrees now.
So we're definitely going under a magnetic pole shift, it sounds like.
I think somebody is pulling the rug out from under our feet.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Getting quite interesting. There's something, there's just so many things happening because the whole solar system is moving to a new place in the universe, a highly energized place, and all the planets are reacting to it, and the sun is reacting to it.
That's right. It's really powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, but there, you know, like you're saying, there's something that is just turning everything upside down, and obviously the Mayans knew about it. You know, in their Mayan calendar, they talked about these events. And
truly, truly.
The sun is definitely reacting to all this, and they're tied into the sun. So.
That's right, and all those new solar waves have just started. And they're saying they're supposed to peak around 2011 to 2015.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They're going to peak right around those years.
Yeah, so we better get all we can off these internet shows while the internet is still working.
Very good.
One day
good
we're
going to
turn
advice.
On the computers and just see like a little fuzzy screen, and that's it. But you know, with me, I just say, heck, you know, I'll just be out in nature and loving it because I love being out in nature more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, you had mentioned that you guys have been having sightings. Tell me what's been going on with you out there in the Mount Hood area.
Well, we're actually at Mount Adams. Hood is right on the other side of the river, but there's a lot of sightings over there as well. They've been seeing quite a few ships.
Awesome.
But we had just recently over in the Mount Hood area, there's a large golden ship that quite a few people saw, and it flew right up the river. And you know, as usual, there's some jets, you know, trailing around behind it, trying to figure out what it was. And here, not too long ago, we had 12 ships that were reported by the to the sheriff's department. Everybody's calling in because there was 12 golden lights up there that were dancing around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then most recently, we had a lot of the, I call them the Yelmanites, you know, they're the Rompa people that go to the Rompa school.
Oh, yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah, I love them dearly. You know, they're very focused, you know.
They are.
They know how to do their work and how to focus and create your reality. And so
we
were in the field and they were doing their focus work. And sure enough, this massive triangle ship comes flying in right over us, which is connected to the Andromedans, which you know, Rompa talks quite a bit about them. He says they're his people. And, you know, everybody saw it. It just blew their minds. And then we saw two other really low-flying big golden ships came in. And then we lost track after
about
30. We saw about 30 other ships do all kinds of things. And one of them, I have a green laser, and I was shooting this laser up at the ship.
Wow.
And it fired this huge green light back at us.
Oh.
It really freaked everybody out in the field. I didn't feel any fear around it.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I was excited. I was like, all right, you know, it's like, and so they shot this beautiful green light back, and it just lit up, and I went, wow, that was phenomenal.
That is really cool.
Yeah, so it's just incredible what's been going on here. You know, the hard part, you know, as you well know, is getting people to wake up and smell the coffee and come out and take a look themselves. And
oh, sure.
And you've got all these debunkers and naysayers.
Oh, right. They want to spoil it for everybody because, you know, they're deriving probably an income from keeping silent.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of the worst-case scenarios are actually the ufologists that won't even come up and look at it. We had these people from Australia come here, and their minds were blown. They saw so many ships, and it was just an incredible evening with them, and they spent 3 days here and just had incredible sightings. And they went back and they tried to tell people in Australia, and they just got hammered by these people in the UFO field that says, yeah, well, nothing you can say can prove this to me. Everything is hearsay, and that you're with a group, and everybody believed in them, so that's what you...
Well, they just think they think you're a cult, a UFO cult or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it was mass hypnosis.
Yep.
You know, and then they say it's eye wiggle, you know, that your eye, when you look at an object long enough, it starts moving.
Right.
It's true. That does happen.
Oh, it does, yeah.
It doesn't go all the way across from horizon to horizon and make it right angle turn, you know. That's an awful big eye wiggle, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But, we're having just incredible sightings up here in the end.
Well, that's grand.
I tell the guy, welcome. You know, I told these guys, hey, said, welcome to the club. Now, you know what I go through on a regular basis, you know, with these people. But, you know, until you really come up here and train it yourself, you know, it's just, you know, in the interesting file. That's what I say, you know, come up and have your own experience, and it's real for you.
That's right. The best experience, I mean, the best teacher is coming out and getting your own experience, and that's what I say when I was just thinking about tonight what I was going to say. Some of the things I wanted to say was I think I might as well say it right off the top of my head since it's right here.
Yeah.
And it's about seeing and filming real extraterrestrial alien technology, and you know it's that, and you have an extended sight wherein you're given an extended sighting and you're able to film it for minutes at a time, like 10 to 15 minutes, and you know this is an alien craft, and it's performing, darting around, performing all kinds of maneuvers in the sky. And since my latest contact, I've had some more incredible maneuvers performed for me by my contact, my alien contacts out in Pine Bush, New York here. And anyway, what I was going to say was about just the prime importance of how important it is when to see alien technology and what it means and what it does. It actually, in my experience, just seeing this technology is facilitating and evolving my consciousness and my feeling and my awareness and my mental intellectual acuity. It's actually raising it higher and higher than ever before. It actually... Seeing alien technology, seeing technology that was not developed on this planet, seeing technology that was created by minds and hands that are in tune with our Creator, are in tune with the infinite, are in tune with these spiritual natural laws of the creation. And seeing that kind of technology has an incredible, incredibly strong and powerful development that just pulls you up, just lifts you up. And this is what I've been experiencing along with my contacts, which I probably ought to go ahead and let you interview me here.
Oh, no. I mean, this is as you...
Yeah, I don't know how to interview myself.
Yeah, this is... you're doing a great job. The, you know, I think that's so important that the consciousness in which we seek is the consciousness in which we connect. And people have this concept in their mind that I'll believe it when I see it. And I was one of those people for a long time. And basically it's the other way around, because you see with your brain and you have to be open to the possibility that this exists. We had a group come up here. It was, you know, one of the guys was very skeptical, and he was very left-brained, you know, and yeah, right, whatever. And then he started taking pictures, and the orbs started appearing everywhere and just every different color, and it was just amazing. He goes, and that kind of blew his mind. And then the next thing you know, the ship started coming in, and he goes, well, it could be a satellite, you know, and then it turns, and it does another one. And then this big triangle comes flying right over us, and that was it. That just pushed him over the edge.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the whole family united around this. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, blocks and things between the family, but they all united around this big triangle coming in.
Wow.
And it was something that they all shared, and the energy exchange was just incredible. And it just...
That's really...
It opened everybody up. So I see what you're talking about, and I observe it all the time.
Absolutely.
To be connected to this and know you're connected to it and feel the connection...
Yeah, and just
more important than the ships themselves, it seems like.
Oh yeah, and what it does, I mean, just seeing seeing the aliens perform, knowing that these craft are, that I'm in contact with these craft, that they're responding to me, that they've contacted me telepathically, that they're communicating with me, that every time I come to Pine Bush, they just come out and they let me film them for like 2 or 3 hours every time I go out there, and they just start appearing on everywhere, all over the horizon. They just start coming up. And one craft in particular follows me around the whole night more than the other ones. And this one craft is the alien girl who took the initiative to contact me telepathically and to be the contact person for this alien race to me. And she told me her name was Abena, and that they are from the Orion star constellation here. And I had mentioned this before, and recently I took another trip out there on May 25th, which was Sunday, about a week and a half ago here. And the night before I went out on this trip, she contacted me telepathically. I was lying down, just resting, getting ready for bed, just lying down, and all of a sudden her voice popped into my head. And it was, this time it was incredibly clear and strong and powerful. And I really knew that this was not my thoughts or some wishful thinking or anything. It was a direct communication from an outside source. An alien source, and she greeted me. She said hello, and she greeted me with this friendly hello. And then she told me about my pending trip the next day out to Pine Bush and what was going to happen and how, and a few things, other things. And then she gave me an incredible experience right after she told me those, that she gave me this introduction. And she gave me this experience. I don't know how she did this, but all of a sudden, I had the feeling that I was inside of her craft, and she was pulling up in her craft. She was maneuvering her craft with a very strong swerving sensation, and we were going up, up, and it was going in a curve. And I had this incredible exhilarating feeling of like going up in this long curve, exaggerated curve, going almost in a loop. And it was so fast, and I could see this bright light. I could see inside her triangular craft. I could see some of the things on the walls and everything, and some of the art designs. And it was just amazing. I was absolutely just in awe of them when I was in there. It was like I was so amazed and left feeling a little bit dizzy as well, because she really accelerated when she pulled away in this curve in the craft. And I guess she did this with some kind of means of, I guess it's called like a real vision, or like a, what do they call those things?
Do you think they, because I know they have the technology to take you right out of your body and put you on the ship.
Yes.
Then you have the experience just as if you were there.
Yeah, it could have been it might have been that. It might have been like a bi-location, a dual, but I was still conscious that I was in my bed.
Yeah.
But I was also conscious that I was in the craft, so it could have been something like a dual bi-location or something. Or
you can be in two places at once, and they have, you know, the yogis can do that. They can appear in more than one place at once, and they have that ability. But it seems like these, you know, have the technology to do that, and they can do it with whoever they want. They can work with you on different levels.
Absolutely. I was stunned at this. I was just left stunned and a little bit dizzy because she accelerated so fast. Anyway, so she gave me this experience, and I was left just stunned about it. So the next day, I traveled out. I'm jumping ahead here. She told me right after that experience, after I came back and I was conscious that I was in my bed again, she told me that was a hydrolift. I never heard that word before, other than outside. I never even heard it probably. I know it has something to do with water,
mm-hmm.
And a lift has something to do with, you know, like a boat on the water performs a hydrolift or something. But
yeah.
So what she was telling me, she just chose that English word, which is the nearest equivalent in her language to what that experience is. And it's a maneuver that they perform on the magnetic field in their craft. In her triangle craft, she can turn the magnetic field on and off. And, I mean, they can ride through the air like airplanes and just appear like airplanes when it suits their purpose. But at other times, like especially when I go out there and she wants me to film, she'll turn on the anti-gravity field and just bounce around and just start like a ball bouncing all around. I got video of her craft bouncing all around the countryside on Pine Bush. It's just absolutely amazing. It's stunning.
I'm watching some of your video, and I've been watching it at your website. Can you give your website out so people could,
I have two websites. I created a Blogspot, which is my newest one. That's probably got a little bit more detailed information than my other site. So I think my Blogspot would be is orionifosresearch.blogspot.com, and that Blogspot would be spelled BLOGSPOT, blogspot.com. So it's Orion Research IFOs blogspot.blogspot.com. I think I sent you both links. In that email.
I have one up on the site that people can pop up and see the footage.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. And then it would be in the Memorial Day weekend album, on the photo album, the latest one. It would be May 25th. I'm working also to get my computer upgraded so that I can download my video, my video right to my websites. So I should be getting that up soon, probably by the end of this month. Then people will be able to see clips of my actual video footage of the craft performing the maneuvers. Just amazing.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's one of the things I'm technologically challenged here, and I keep, people say, yeah, I'm going to do it, and they come here and they start you know, downloading some of the footage, and I've got like 70 hours of footage.
Oh, I believe it.
And to go through it all and catalog it all, and I know Steve Marino did some of it with PSI applications, but there's so much of it, and it's just undeniable.
A lot of work.
And when you look at this footage, but I've got to get it all cataloged and downloaded. And
you know, it's a lot of work, yeah.
You know, this winter, when we get the 10 feet of snow, I think I'll just get a program and just
yeah.
get hooked up.
Everything happens when it's ripe and ready. Everything starts to come together.
Yeah, I need some young kid that's computer savvy to show up here, and that just was just as excited watching it as he would be downloading it.
Yeah.
Know how to do everything and then didn't get it done. But we don't have the NASA or the funding, you know, for all steady funding, although we do outgun them as far as UFOs are concerned. You know, it's pretty sad when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, so basically you've been going out there for how long have you been going out to Pine Bush?
It started last July, the end of July last year. And I went back after 14 years. I actually went out there, the first time I went out there was 14 years ago. And we film something back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite amazing. So I always wanted to get back there, and I eventually did. Eventually got back there last July.
Hello?
Yeah, we'll be taking some calls on this in just a little while. We've got quite a few people waiting in the wings, but
great, yeah. I just wanted to remark a couple of. So she told me this was a hydro lift, and so the next day I went out there, and I went to several different new places in Orange County, in Pine Bush, which is called Orange County. It comprises of like maybe a 10 square mile area around Orange County. Pine Bush consists of Montgomery, Walden, Walk Hill, Pine Bush, all these different towns. So the activity is not just in one town like Pine Bush. It comprises several other local towns bordering Pine Bush. And so I went to a few new places like on the border of like Walden next to Pine Bush and some place called County Line Farm. And as soon as I get out there, I had the added benefit of a monopod this time for a camcorder, so that minimized the camera shake to a great degree.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped. And so, my contact person, Abena, she just came out and followed me around all night long for like 2 hours, let me film her craft. She came around and she started, she gave me these incredible maneuvers. Perform these hydro lifts like she gave me the night before, and she started doing these hydro lifts all night long, just going around in circles in front of the camcorder, in front of my camcorder, and then she starts pulling back and forth really fast, faster than lightning. You see the craft zip out of the picture and zip back into it as fast as lightning, just some incredible footage and demonstration of her craft. And then she brought her craft in several times really close, not more than maybe 25 yards away. And I got a few segments of film on that where the craft came in really close. And she lit up most of the triangular form of the craft so you could really make out a triangle on it. And that's in some of my photo albums. You could see part of that.
Okay.
It was really a grand experience. And things are just getting closer and closer. She told me that she was going to be making close contacts with me when she contacted me last year. And, man, she's proving every bit of her word. This alien girl, is proving backing up everything she said. And that's what's proving to me that this whole experience is real. And even people that had second doubts about me, like some of my relatives and everything, are starting to take a second look at it. And
That happens. You're not alone in that. It's pretty amazing how all the relatives think you've gone off the rocker and everything else, and then you start showing them the footage, and they just can't wrap their minds around it, and it takes them a while to get it, you know, to get it together after they see these things, and you know, some either jump into it or some run off, one or the other.
It's amazing. And so the whole, she told me to prepare, get ready. There's just so many things I could go into about why it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And why this is happening for me is because she told me that I had already fairly progressed in my meditation practice and my recognition and observance of certain cosmic laws of the creation, that they judge me worthy of having closer sightings from their ship, of their ships and telepathic contacts. And people think that it's not that easy to have like extended sightings and contacts with aliens. Yourself being a contact person, that there needs to be this preparation, because it can actually be dangerous, very dangerous for people to be exposed to like prolonged sightings of alien ships and their hardware and their technologies, because, I mean, my exposure already since last year, in the initial beginning, the first few months, while I was reviewing some of the footage and I saw some of their demonstrations and I saw some of the lights, and they took away, you know, they put on the anti-gravity device and let me see the flickering plasma anti-gravity light. This stuff actually made me nauseous at first when I first started seeing it. And I was getting dizzy. And it's really true. This is why people want to know why aliens will not, they're reluctant to take up contact with average Earth people or just come down and land their ships and everything. It's because of these factors. There's a very real danger involved here, because their vibrations are so balanced, but they're also so high and so controlled. And their technology is so, so advanced that it can actually be dangerous to the human psyche to be exposed prematurely to this kind of technology. And that's why, this is one of the chief reasons why they are very cautious about who they will allow to have like extended sightings and contacts with themselves and seeing their craft and their technology, because these kind of technologies can actually evoke, like I said, nausea. They can evoke heart attacks in certain people. They can evoke, I don't want to alarm anybody, but it's very true. When you get exposed to some of this kind of anti-gravity light and demonstration of their lights, and even the sound of the craft can really start to freak people out, and it can be dangerous. But I don't want to alarm everybody, but I just want to, I think this needs to be told, and I think it like fits in a puzzle for a lot of people that are asking, why? Why don't aliens come down and contact me? You know, I want to have contact with aliens. And that's good. That's a good desire. And it is possible for everybody, but there needs to be preparation. And that's why they're contacting you, James. Why they selected you, why they selected me, because through us, now we can divulge what they're teaching us and help others prepare. And little by little, you know, people are going to be made prepared and made ready, and then, you know, greater things will be given.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, some people, they'll keep it high here, and they scan the group and they see what the group can handle, and then they drop in a little lower and a little lower. And you know, people go, I want to get on the ship, and I said, I don't think you do. You'll turn over in your consciousness. You won't be able to handle the frequencies. And they go, so you're so spiritual and you're so awake. And I said, no, it's just a matter of fact of what they've told me. And you know, it put me through a ringer, you know, trying to rise to the occasion and deal with these energies. And
it's tough. I mean, it's really draining, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it pushes everything up that doesn't match that high frequency. So if you're carrying any old baggage or old wounds or traumas or fears or whatever, all that gets accelerated when you're in their presence.
Isn't that the truth? I have felt that so many times when I'd get contacted sometimes, and I would, like, I would just start to freak out. I would get nervous. I would get anxious. I would get, oh, my God, oh, oh. And then
all your unworthiness and everything, you know, starts coming up, and the self-judgment comes up and everything else, and they're not non-judgmental beings. They're not here. They're not judgmental or anything else. They're just pure, loving, you know, high-frequency beings. It's our own stuff that comes up in their presence.
Right. It evokes their high technology as well as their advanced mental continuum of thought actually evokes it evokes that kind of it's an imbalance, and if you're not prepared, it can cause you to vacillate and almost go insane.
Oh yeah,
definitely. It really can, and that's why the aliens are being cautious, because
yeah.
If they were to come down and just contact us in a melancholy type of way, I mean, we'd just be.
Yeah, look what happened to Billy Meyer. He even said it in one of his videos. He said he was, you know, they stopped the contact in the late 70s in his one of his videos. I think it's the Beam Ship video. And he said he was turning over in his mind, and he couldn't. He was having a lot of trouble with it. So
I remember that, yeah.
They broke off the contact. But if you talk to the group there, they'll say, oh, no, that never happened, you know. But, you know, it's in his contact notes, and it's in his video.
There's a lot of good in the Billy Meyer case, but there's also a lot that I just can't subscribe to.
Yeah,
Some of it, you know, it's very exclusive. Only Billy can have contact. I mean, maybe with his alien race, only Billy can have contact. You know, they've chosen him. They're not going to select somebody else.
Well, actually, in his books and his contact notes, they said that they were contacting over 7,000 other people here on the Earth. So he's totally contradicting his own books and his own notes. And I think he did a great job in documenting, you know, the footage and taking everything.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I think he did his part there, and then it just kind of went awry after that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we've got a load of callers.
Yeah, go ahead.
at the phone here trying to get
some time,
on.
Yeah.
So if we've got anybody on the line here, go ahead and you can go ahead and put them on the line. I can give you the numbers here if people want to contact us. It's 877-876-5227. And we have another number for the Canadians, and it's 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. So you should be getting a beep here, because I know we have the lines are all lit up, and we've got, supposedly have a few callers, according to the station. Greetings.
Hello. Hello, hi.
Can you say your name and where you're from?
This is Kay Lobo. I'm at Branson, Missouri.
Great. How are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, just great. Yeah, I want to tell you, thank you. I talked to you about 2 weeks ago. I told you a little bit about an experience that I had, my sister and I, when we were in, she lives in, Mackinac, New York, which is very close to Pine Bush.
Oh, great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my grandparents grew up in Pine Bush. This is why I'm trying to put this all together, why this has been happening to me for at least 12 years now. But and I think it's all related now. But yeah, my grandparents grew up in Pine Bush, New York, and my father, you know, was born there and grew up there. And then when we lived near there, and then we moved to around Ellenville area, Napanoc. And that's why I want to let you know, if you want to go up and maybe do some filming or something up there, there's a lot of activity up there. Last year, July 11th, that's when my sister and I had like a real close encounter with a ship. Now, we were just so scared that, you know, maybe it would have been a good experience if we just, you know.
You had a close encounter in Pine Bush?
Mackinac, New York.
Oh, how close is that to Pine Bush?
Cape Road.
Awesome.
Oh, that's about half an hour.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful, but I don't know if it was wonderful now. We were just so scared. But, I mean, she's moved from the house now. She was telling my parents' house. She's moved from the house, though. So, and she doesn't want to talk about it at all, because I believe she had some type of an experience, maybe an abduction. I'm not sure, or, you know, whatever.
Do you have a video camera?
No, when we were there.
No, I mean, do you have one now? Or?
Yeah, but I'm out in Missouri now. I went back to Missouri. I was
a lot of times they follow you. You'd be surprised if you see them there, you know. If you
they're here.
Meditate and take your camera out there with you and see what happens.
Oh, yeah, they're here. And that's what he, when Phil was talking about, you know, some sort of following him around, I'm wondering if that doesn't happen to me, because besides that experience, for 12 years I've had telepathic experiences, and someone leading me to come out here, actually. And actually, the next to the last sort of message that I got was this telepathic message told me if and when the world goes crazy, where to go here in Branson, where to meet first, is, you know, meet with people and then go there as a place of refuge for a short while. And that's another thing I have a question. Do you find that, you know, our belief in Jesus and God and so forth, do you find that these people, have they mentioned anything like, you know, Jesus is one of them? Or, you know, I'm just totally sort of confused about really what's going on. But I'm glad to hear other people talking
about
this.
Do you want me to take that, Phil, or do you want to take that?
I didn't hear exactly what you say.
Because at first
wondering
I had
about the connection between Jesus
God
and
Jesus
these
and,
or is there a connection?
Are these all one?
Between Jesus and the aliens.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The certain extraterrestrial races had a part in the life of Christ. I mean, I'm not saying they formed him or anything like that, but there was different alien races, I think, from Venus that played a great part in a lot of the episodes of the life of Christ.
Right.
And I'm not saying that Jesus was, you know, from Venus or anything like that, but undoubtedly, you know, aliens have played a part in some of the prophets in the Old Testament were taken on rides and flying wheels and pillars of fire, things like this.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mary was pregnant, and Joseph was very upset about it. He said, you know, I'm not going to marry this woman. She's with child, and I didn't lay with her. You know, I haven't had sex with her. He was really upset about it, and then this being appears to him named Gabriel and says, you know, this is my child, your rim is your own, it's the child of God, you know, and gives him the whole thing. He goes, yes, sir, you know. So you really think about it, the being that appeared to Joseph was not terrestrial. He was definitely not of this world. He was extraterrestrial. So basically his dad's an E.T., you know, by the definition of the word, his dad is an E.T., But now you can say, now that ties ETs into the angelic realms and the other dimensions and the light beings and the energy beings and everything else. It's all tied together. And when we start putting, you know, all the pieces together, we start seeing that it all fits real nicely. And, you know, even the Vatican now is saying, you know, it's time to stop demonizing the ETs and that they're part of God's creation, and they're a greater family of man, and you know they're coming back now. They're returning to help us out.
Yeah, and I want to thank you. I got your book, James, The Ultimate Soul Journey, and so I'm trying to learn more because, and it's so fascinating. Also, learn about your background, your experience, and so forth.
Well,
sort of all new to me, even though it's 12 years it's been going on. And like you said, you have got to be so strong. And I was asking God, and that's when he's, you know, feeling that who's contacting me, God or Jesus, why me? Why me? You know, having this contact, because the first contact actually was a white light experience, I call it, in the kitchen, my kitchen, which you asked for. I had a white light, and they let me know my dad was passing away in New York. But,
asking why not?
Yeah.
Rather than why me, why not?
Yeah.
You know,
after 12 years, no, it was actually 9 years when he told me this, I was driving, and I asked why me another time. Every day I'm asking why me, in a humbling, good way, because I feel blessed by it, but at the same time, totally confused. So I asked why me. I said, I started to say, is it because of my mind? Is it because I'm strong? And the ST sort of came out. And he said, no, he overlapped it. No, it is because you are love. So if we are loving people and just generate that love and feel love and stuff, I think, you know, if we want to have contact, I'm learning more, but just keep that. I think that's why.
You have to have an open mind, a loving heart, pure intent. And, you know, it's that old saying, you know, only the meek, you know, are going to be left. And the people that are very intellectual a lot of times and are very, you know, in caught up in their own self-importance and things like that, they get very upset because they're not contacted. And they need to look at that rather than ridicule the people that are being contacted and try to say it's
not happening
or whatever.
Yeah, but in a way, you can understand because it's so abnormal, it's so bizarre that I look at other people when they criticize, and I don't talk to too many people about it, but I do try to open up and tell them for, reasons that maybe they should know. Maybe are critical, but you have to look at them and realize if these experiences, if these things didn't actually happen to me, if I heard someone else talking like this, would I believe them?
Well,
good point.
Thanks for calling in. Let's open up the line. We've got some other callers waiting in line here.
Sure. Have a great evening. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah, definitely. I've seen them pick people that are, both you and I, we're not idiots by any means, but we're just open. And I don't consider myself a rocket scientist.
Me either.
Yeah, or anything else. I don't have the major PhD behind my name, but I've put more time and energy into studying, all the different techniques and studied all the different religions and studied with lamas and yogis, and I have a lot more time invested than a PhD into all of this. So
and that's why they find that more comfortable. They're comfortable around people that have a quiet spirit and a quiet consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they contacted me, because I practice that, and I like to incorporate that into my daily life and my recognition of things.
I think that's exactly why. For 10 years when I was building this center here, I was building this spiritual retreat center. And I was here a lot of times just by myself, and I was meditating 3 times a day. I was greeting the sun in the morning and doing my spiritual practices. And it took 10 years of doing intense process-oriented therapy and intersensitivity training, all that stuff, to get to the point where they started contacting me. And even then, I had trouble accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. I know we've got a few other callers there waiting to come in, so anytime they want to jump in.
Sure.
I can give the numbers again. We've got 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or the direct line is 530-876-3222. So if anybody wants to call in and share one of their stories or ask some questions, feel free to call in and we'll give you an answer. We can always find an answer. It may not be right, but we can give you an answer. But we always do our best. The going further into this, what do you think the reason for contacting us now and being here now at this time? Have they given you any insights about that?
Yeah, they're really telling me that the reason they're doing this is they want to, I'm an experiment. The reason they're trying this with me, too, is an experiment. They want to see the reaction. They're gauging the reaction of other people to what's happening with me, the whole exposure of it. It's like a computational analysis on their part. And they're like, they just want to see the reaction to everything, my reaction to their response to me. And they want to help us. They're extending every time an advanced race does this sort of thing, and they take the initiative, the personal initiative to contact an Earth person. They're doing this in order to pull us up a few rungs on the ladder of both mental, spiritual, and physical evolution, so that we can gain a more expanded view of the universe and the galaxy and some of the natural cosmic laws that we don't even know anything about yet, and we're dependent upon this knowledge given to us by these extraterrestrials, because we just don't have it.
Hey, we keep forgetting. We've got another caller on the line. Can you state where you're from and your name?
My name is Dan Schooler. I'm calling from Victoria on Vancouver Island, and I realize it's a little bit off topic, but I wanted to talk about orbs.
Uh-huh.
I've been taking photographs for Hubble for a few months now, and so is my friend Haya Kingsbury. And Haya came up with a theory, and we've been using the technique to attract orbs, and it works. And the technique is you get a garden hose with a spray attachment, with a very fine spray,
mm-hmm.
and just let it sit up, spray it up into the air. Usually wait till it's dark. And the first ones you become are the micro orbs, the little tiny ones that create the mist that moves around. These guys, they love the water. It attracts them. It pulls them in. And you can see them swirling up into the water.
Amazing.
With the little orbs, you get the big ones. Mm-hmm. And right now we're getting six-sided orbs.
Wow.
We've been doing this, and it can be done anywhere. And we told a friend in California about it, and he got the idea. He did it last night, and he said he's going to get a better mister to put on his hose, but he said it works too. It's getting, we're talking chock-a-block. Every square inch of a picture is covered with orbs.
Are they all different colors?
Not so much now. We've been getting all different colors throughout our, 10 months of taking photos.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is something that people can do anywhere, attract the orbs for themselves. It's like encountering an alien life form in your own backyard, and it's exciting.
Yeah, we'll have to have people try that experiment and then send us the photos.
Yes. It's important that we get a lot of feedback on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the plasma fields around the orbs with water has something to do with it, because I've taken some of the best orb pictures along rivers and near rivers, but, I mean, they're out in the field, too, where it's very dry, but they seem to be very attracted to water. And I think a lot of them are nature spirits, and the nature spirits actually love to hang around water as well, so it would make sense.
So this pulls them in consistently.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of it. There's a lot of
it. Go for it.
You know, water is an amazing thing. Water actually can entrain it and do all kinds of things and put consciousness in it. It holds memory. It's an amazing substance. People have no idea what they're putting into their body, and if they bless it and focus what they want to have happen in the sweat lodges, a lot of the Native Americans would take water in and they would bless it with and ask the spirits to bless it with a healing, and then the person would drink it afterwards and they'd be healed. So it's definitely has some interesting qualities. There needs to be a lot more research on that.
Well, it's something that just motivated us to take more pictures.
Yeah.
And Haya and I wish you the best.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you know, orbs, I've seen there's a definite connection with the ships and with the orbs. And I know when the Palladian ships come in, there's a certain type of orb that comes in along with them. And what I found out is that they can actually extend their consciousness out of their body and travel as a light sphere, as a probe, and gather information and communicate and do all kinds of things, that they don't have to have a physical body to do that. They can actually project their spirit out of their body and communicate with people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that. And I take a lot of pictures. I've taken a lot of still pictures when I've gone to Pine Bush during the daytime, and there's nothing there on the horizon when I'm taking the pictures, but when I develop the film later, you can see half-materialized triangular ships that look like liquid. It looks like droplets of, like, liquid metal is the best way I can describe it. Silvery, almost liquid metallic droplets, and it's in the form of a triangle. And I just know it's one of their triangular ships. And then there's many orbs that you see all around. It's just quite amazing.
Yeah, I've got a picture on my website where I'm actually standing with Standing Elk. I'm not sure. He used to be Standing Elk, and then he changed his name to Golden Eagle, and now I think he's Chief Red Spotted Horse. I'm not sure, but he's up in he's up in the Dakotas up there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's a Lakota.
And, oh, I've heard of him.
Yeah,
he has contact with star people.
Yeah, he comes here and vacations. He comes here. And
a lot of them are from Orion, I think, too. I think some of the Native American peoples are descendants from one of the planets around Rigel, from what I heard.
Yeah, they're the Atlanteans and the Lemurians, and they, you know, that's one of the reasons why they have a real adversity to technologies, because they were part of the problem that happened in the past, you know, with Atlantis and Lemuria, where they you know, destroyed and screwed up the planet.
Mutually destroyed one another.
Yeah, so they're very aware of that, and they're trying to get us not to do it again. And you know, right now we're playing with the same technologies and you know the HARP and all the other nonsense that we're doing. So
yeah,
you know, it can trigger quakes and.
Well, these people, you know, these people may get a hold of some of this technology, but if their consciousness will not remain upon the creational level. The creational law, respective creational laws in existence, they're going to lose their grip over that technology sooner or later. It's going to betray them. It's not going to let them have it.
Yeah.
It's going to, the elements will turn against them time and time again, down all through the ages. The elements always turned against those people that proved unworthy of these higher technologies. These higher technologies will just—they're going to turn. They will turn against them. They won't serve them, and that's what's happening now. People that aren't coming into attunement and coming into what the originator—I like to call the source of everything—the originator—and my Orion friends also like they term the existence of everything the originator. So. Yeah, this is, we're coming down to the end here.
Yeah, they use the source with me all the time. They kind of say that, you know, the absolute or all that is, or the father of all beginnings. They don't even like to use the word father. It's more like the father, mother, God principle.
Mm.
But, you know, we're running out of time here. Yep. It's just been such an awesome interview. And, I mean, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I know all the listeners have as well, but, we're going to have to sign off and bring you back on again to finish the story.
All righty. Well, thanks for having me on again, James.
All right. Well, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening and start watching the skies because they're here. Have a great evening. Good night.